I'm going to direct your attention to begin with this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. The most thorough information we have on the Lord's table is given to us here. It appears that the Corinthian church had begun to abuse the Lord's table. And you can read about that. It's not our purpose today to reflect on those abuses, but they had become quite formidable from the way it sounds. Sometimes we get kind of hard on ourselves and say, you know, we just aren't really being faithful to the Lord like we should be. Boy, this Corinthian church was something else, and as it appears to me in Scripture. But in this context, Paul reminds us about this communion service. And here in verse 23 of the 11th chapter, we'll pick it up. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, that's an important statement right there. We are called to this table to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to remember what he has done for us. Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it." And again, the statement, "in remembrance of me." But it's the 26th verse that I want to bring your attention to this morning. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." I always enjoy the Christmas season as we begin to compare the Advents. The first advent of Jesus Christ, when he came as our Savior, the one who is going to die for our sins, and the second advent when he comes as the King of this world. And that is brought into perspective here, where it says, when you do this, you show the Lord's death, his first advent, until he come, his second advent. The Scripture calls on its people to anticipate the return of the Lord. One of the great descriptions of God's people is that we are a waiting people. Do you get impatient when you wait? I get embarrassed at my impatience sometimes. I confessed that to Charlotte this week. She's not here. She must be down working with the children. Had to go to the bank. I don't go to the bank very often, but I had to go to the bank. And there were three tellers. Two of them were working and one was visiting. And the line was getting pretty long. And this teller visited and visited and visited. And I was getting annoyed. I handled my annoyance with a fair degree of moderation. But I did end up at her window. And I thought, it's time for this teller to learn. I became the instructor. And all I did was say to her, I said, you know, it's really annoying to wait while all you do is visit. We're not good waiters. At least I'm not. So if you hear somebody talking about that pastor of the Bethel Baptist Church who's criticizing tellers, now you know what happened. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul here is reflecting on the conversion of the folks at Thessalonica. And he's talking about the evidence of their true conversion. And he talks about their habits and their ideas. And in verse 9 he says, "For they," that is, excuse me, their deportment, their ideas, their habits, "they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven." That's what our anticipation is. We are waiting for something beyond our poor ability to understand, and surely beyond our ability to explain. And I think we at times need to pause and remember this, what we are waiting for. Nobody has an anticipation like the followers of Jesus Christ. Let me just read something of that to you. If you come with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Here the Lord describes to us some of our future. And this is what we as his children are going to experience. And I'm going to read the whole 21st chapter here of Revelation. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Well, that's going to be an interesting earth, isn't it? It appears that there'll be no oceans on it. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." He speaks now of three things that will no longer exist. There shall be no more death. I was just speaking with one of our visitors this morning. You know, they call these later years of our life golden years. And we recognize they're not so golden after all. No more death. Man, Mom could be in church today. So that's one thing there's not going to be any more of. Neither sorrow. No more sorrow. I look out over this congregation, and I know that there are the depths of sorrow in a lot of hearts. That's not going to exist in the future. That's going to be all gone. I don't think we can imagine a heart without sorrow. And then it says, "nor crying." I kind of keep sorrow and crying together. Neither shall there be any more pain. Jan, take that home to Larry. No more pain. Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy smashed his finger in a log splitter this week. That's why it's up in the air. Those things are all going to be gone away. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Now, there'll be a portion of you in this congregation who will understand this. How many of you always wished you could buy a new car? You know, you could drive it home and you didn't worry about maintenance and that kind of stuff, and it would smell new, you know? There's going to be a time when God makes all things new. Wow. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Charlotte and I recently bought a house. My lands, that things become our master. Fix up, clean up, clean up, fix up, repair, fix, 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 fix. I'm leaving my tools when I go to heaven. I'm going to a place where all things are new. What a wonderful thing that is. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I've been wrestling with what I'm going to say next, whether or not I ought to say it. This is the stuff fairy tales are made of. This is incredible. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Do you know who that is? That's you. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, I quote again to you, John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. I think this is what the place is. There's been a construction project going on for 2,000 years. God created this earth in 6 days. Can you imagine what this place is going to look like? To the last detail, incredibly perfect and beautiful. This is where we're going, folks. This is going to be our future. This isn't a fairy tale. This is reality. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length was as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. We have a little difficulty knowing just what a furlong is. It's roughly a mile. 1,200 miles square. Wow. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophras, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Wouldn't you like to see the oyster? The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb was a light thereof. Isn't that interesting? We aren't going to have any, what do we call these things we get in the valley in the wintertime? Inversions? Is that the right word? We aren't going to have any of those in heaven. And you know how hot the sun gets in July? We won't have that either. It's going to be a place of ultimate comfort. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates shall not be shut at all by day, neither shall for there shall be no night there. For they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we observe the Lord's table, it is all about remembering his death till he come, until we enjoy these wonderful days. And we are to, with patience, wait for this. Don't get impatient, David. I stand in God's line growling once in a while too. Do you? There is something characteristic given to the saint for patience. We find that also in the book of Revelation. Go to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're going to start reading at verse 6, but I'm going to take you down to verse 12 first. Because here the angel says to John, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So something is being revealed to John that is the source of patience for the believer. Verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Interesting description of the gospel. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Isn't that interesting? What is it that makes us patient? The grace of God that has delivered us from the time of judgment. That ought to be sufficient to grant us the patience to endure whatever God brings upon us in this lifetime. And then notice verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me," right, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Patience is a contented view of the present in view of the future. It's the acceptance of all that we endure now in anticipation of what God has prepared for His children. I have two illustrations of patience, one of impatience and one of patience, that I just learned this last week. It's Christmas time and all that goes with it, and it's time for the children to be patient. Well, Christmas time around our house is, we have the benefit of our grandchildren's grandparents are all in the same town. And one of the special things that Janice and Sam do for the grandchildren is they take them about one at a time to stay at their house. And the kids look forward to that time to go to Grandma Hoffman's. No ill to you, Grandpa, that I say Grandma. But that's what they say. Anyway, Lizzie wasn't going to be able to go this night, but she was going to go the next night. She's 6 years old. And her mother reasoned with her, said, "No, Lizzie, you're not going tonight, but you're going to go tomorrow night, and here's all the special things that you have tomorrow night." And Lizzie just threw a fit. Impatient. But she's only six. She can be impatient. Sometimes we're like six-year-olds, aren't we? We get impatient. I want all the riches and all. I want all the wealth and I want all the good things, and I want to be free from the sorrow and I want to be free from the crying and I want to be free from the pain. Now! And God says, "Settle down, Lizzie. Settle down." So, that now thing has something to do with patience. But then I want to talk to you about another demonstration of patience. It was Christmas Eve. Now, in the Pestle house, we open the most of the gifts on Christmas Eve, these that are put under the tree and all of that, you know. But it comes after the Christmas Eve service at church, and then it comes after a Pestle dinner. And it is Pestle. It's a German meal, spiced spare ribs, and boy, it was good this time. But then the dishes have to be done, too. The house cleaned up before we do it. Well, Charlotte had worked all afternoon fixing dinner, and I came into the kitchen, and there were just pots and kettles all over. So I rolled up my sleeves, and I got some hot water in the sink. I thought, I'm going to start doing dishes and get this stuff done and out of the way. And here comes my grandson, Joe. He said, "Hey, Granddad, I can help you. I'll dry them." You know, here was patience demonstrating itself in service. We have an older child who could look forward and say, "I can alter my behavior in light of what is coming later." What about us as God's children? Have we altered our behavior in service to Him in the light of things that are coming later? Being patient. Joe's had four more years to work on it. Maybe this year, folks, that the Lord will return. What a blessed future is ours. And I suggest this one little thought to you. In some measure, we will enjoy that blessed future more if we allow the anticipation of it to alter our behavior today. I think of that gospel song, and I only can think of one line of it, but it goes this way: I will wish I had given him more. Let's get there having given him every ounce of faithfulness and strength, devotion and sacrifice that we can give. Cheerfully, in anticipation of his coming.